Hello, wonderful Open Heart Project Sangha. It is great to see you as always. I think about you all the time. I hope you are well. I hope your practice is thriving. I hope you are finding connection with each other, with all who care about you, and that you are finding what you need and want most from your spiritual practice. I'm delighted to introduce you to our theme for the month of April, which is loving kindness. In the Northern Hemisphere, the season is changing to spring, which is fantastic. It's been a dark, cold winter. In the Southern Hemisphere, it is turning to autumn. I have no idea what that must be like. Everything in me is just so keyed to this particular rhythm of the seasons changing. In any case, we are all involved in one season changing to another. And that is a great time to visit loving kindness, the meaning of loving kindness, the practice of loving kindness. Because when things are in transition, our hearts are somewhat less protected and therefore more open. Sometimes that feels wonderful, sometimes not wonderful. But here we are together practicing what it means to have an open heart. And it all begins with loving kindness. And loving kindness begins entirely with loving kindness toward yourself. Without some sense of genuine softening toward yourself, loving kindness for others is quite conceptual. So I want to immediately place this idea outside of the field of you have to love yourself first before others can love you. I don't actually find that to be true. In fact, it can work the other way around. When someone loved me, for example, I started to love myself. So I'm not saying it in that sense. You have to love yourself because then no one will be able to love you, or you won't be able to love anyone. You have to love yourself before you can love someone else. Well, I don't think it's quite that simple. One thing I learned from Pema Chodron, who some of you have had contact with through the Open Heart Project, so you know she is a wonderful, wonderful teacher. She spoke about the necessity of softening toward ourselves as a path to compassion and loving kindness for others in a way that really made sense to me. She said, the reason we practice with our own inner state is so that we can be kind to others for the following reason. If we look at our inner dialogue, I don't think we're going to find a whole lot of loving kindness to begin with. Rather, we find a lot of criticism, judgment, self-aggression, self-discounting of all sorts. At least that's true for me. When we start to create a relationship with someone, and the deeper that relationship gets, the softer the boundary becomes between us and them, you and me. And therefore, the less able I am to discern the difference between you and me, because the boundary just continues to become diffuse. And the more diffuse it becomes, the more likely I am to talk to you the way I talk to myself, because I've mixed you and me together. And so the way I talk to myself is not so nice. The way I talk to you may reflect that as well. It may not be so nice to you in my speech and in my feelings. So there's incredible importance involved in cultivating loving kindness, first for yourself, because that literally lays the ground for loving kindness towards others. It's the seed syllable of loving kindness altogether. Loving kindness towards self. You may have heard this story before about how the practice of loving kindness came to be, also called the practice of metta. I believe that's in Pali, Maitri in Sanskrit. As the story goes, there were a group of monks practicing with the Buddha, among many monks, and they were wanting to set up a practice community. I guess that's what they called it. And the Buddha said, okay, well, that place in the forest looks pretty good. So they went there and they set up their practice community. And the pre-existing citizens of the forest, seen and unseen, displeased, did not care for this. What are you people doing here? So they tried to drive them out by making really loud noise when the monks were trying to practice, throwing things at them. That would get me out. And when all these things failed to get the monks to leave, they they made horrible odors. That would work if it was me. They made horrible stench. And the monks were like, okay, uncle, seen and unseen beings, we're out. So they went back to the Buddha and they're like, no, we need someplace different. And the Buddha said, well, go back there and do this practice. And he taught them the practice of loving kindness, a practice that we are fixing to do soon. So they're like, okay. And they went back, practiced loving kindness. And over time, the seen and unseen beings who were enemies of the monks started to calm down. They stopped taunting the monks. They stopped trying to drive them out. And further, and this is the very moving part to me anyway, they not only ceased to be enemies, and they didn't just stop at being neutral, they became protectors of the monks. So this practice has the power to turn enemies not just into non-enemies, but into fierce friends. So it's quite potent. As mentioned, the practice must begin with softening toward yourself. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, because that's probably the most difficult part of the practice. When the Buddha taught the practice, my guess is he was like, well, let's start with something easy. I know, start with yourself. Because who doesn't like themselves? I'm making that up, obviously. But now, you know, 2,500 years on, that's the hardest. That's the hardest. I was talking to someone the other day about self-aggression and how hard it is to stop pushing yourself, judging yourself, criticizing yourself, hating on yourself. And there's this kind of underlying fear, faint or loud, that says if you stop disliking yourself, if you stop pushing yourself, haranguing yourself, the whole thing's going to fall apart. And you just have to never let up on yourself. Keep pushing yourself to be more, have more, achieve more, do more, 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 more. Even if your goal is to do less, we push ourselves to achieve doing less, more. It's very hard to stop doing this. So we were having this conversation, what came to mind is a anecdote told by Sharon Salzberg in one of her early books. She writes beautifully on loving kindness. So for further information, see Sharon Salzberg. She told this story about an early gathering between His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Western Buddhist teachers, many of whom were also therapists. Sharon, and I don't know if Jack Kornfield was there and Joseph Goldstein, but that posse, I assume, was there along with her, as well as others. And it was an early conversation between these Western students and the Dalai Lama. So it must have been incredibly exciting and incredibly meaningful. And at one point, Sharon raised her hand and asked His Holiness, how do I help my students who have low self-esteem, who don't like themselves? And according to the story, the Dalai Lama was like, what? And he turned to his translator, was like, what is she talking about? And the translator tried to explain low self-esteem to the Dalai Lama, who, according to the story, became more and more confused. What? Low self-esteem? Finally, the translator got it across to him. It means you don't like yourself. And he was like, what? And he said to Sharon, are you sure this is what your students have? And she was like, yeah, in fact, I have it too. And he looked around the room because everyone was going, yeah, we have that too. He was completely gobsmacked and said, how can you not like yourself if you possess Buddha nature? How can you not like yourself if you at heart are awake and whole and worthy, basically good? You and Buddha are no different. How can you not like yourself? So that's a mic drop moment, something to contemplate forever and ever, as far as I'm concerned. And to start there, when we begin our loving kindness practice, not I'm awesome, yay me, I am my own best friend. Oh, that's fine. But to touch in some way with your own wakefulness, your own brilliance, your own goodness, because you know you're good. You know that you are beautiful. Even if it's for a moment or a lifetime, you know. The easiest way to touch in with that sense of wakefulness and even perfection, you could say, is to relax and let go. Just let go. Am I doing this right? Am I doing it poorly? What do you think? What if I hadn't said that thing 10 years ago? Why does my knee hurt? All that, those reasonable thoughts that we all have. My knee is hurting a little bit today. I guess that's why that came to me. To let go and flash on the sky above, let's say, on a sense of vast openness, like the top of your head could open to the sky. And there's no difference between the sky and your mind, just for a moment. You may have heard me say this before. I once heard a talk by the late great composer Peter Lieberson, who composed operas and was a practitioner in my lineage, practiced what we practice. And he was giving a talk on spirit meditation and creativity, I think it was called. So, yay. Can't wait to hear that talk. And someone asked him, what is your process for creating your works? How do you do it? You know, because everybody wants to know that about wonderful creative people. What time do you get up? And do you work every day? And what kind of pencil do you use? And, you know, various things. I think that was the spirit of the question. But the answer was quite profound. He said, the most important moment in my process is the moment before I begin, which means let go. So loving kindness, meditation in general, and loving kindness in particular, is a creative act. We're building something. We're rousing something. We're creating something. And as with all creative acts, the important moment is the moment before we begin, because you just let go and show up. And you even let go of showing up, and you just are. Here. So that's a great way to begin loving kindness practice. And we'll do that when we go through because we'll practice together, we'll go through it step by step. The practice begins, as mentioned, with offering loving kindness toward yourself by using particular phrases. The classical phrases are, may I be happy, may I be healthy, may I be peaceful, may I live with ease. If you don't resonate with those words, you can use other words. Lately, I've been using safe. May I be safe? May you be safe? You can use whatever means something to you right now, but happy, healthy, peaceful, and easeful are always appropriate. And we'll use those for this practice. Then once you have created some sense of warmth toward yourself, you let go of yourself and you shift your attention in your mind's eye to a loved one. Someone who, when you think of them, you don't have to try to rouse loving kindness. It's there fully. Could be a child, a partner, a parent, a friend, a pet. This person can be living, they can be dead. You might know them, you might never have met them, but you still feel this for them. So you pick one person and you acknowledge that as is so for you, it is so for them, that they also just want to be happy and healthy and peaceful and live with ease. And you want that for them, no problem. This is what all beings want, and not just human beings. Then in the classical practice, the next step, third step, is benefactor or teacher, but we're going to leave that one out for the sake of time. And then the next person after that in our practice is called a stranger. And this just means someone that you can sort of picture, but you don't have any feelings about them, positive or negative. Someone that lives in your apartment building that you see now and then, someone who is in your class at school, but you've never spoken to them. Just some person that you don't have feelings about because you don't really know them. So they're a stranger to you. But just like you and your loved one, they want to be happy too and healthy and so forth. Then the penultimate step is to bring to mind an enemy. Now, someone you don't like, someone you hate, you full on, y'all. You do not like this person at all. Cool. Bring them on into the loving kindness practice. Not by forgiving them or letting them off the hook, by thinking, oh, well, they probably had a hard life. That's why they're such assholes. Use my language. No, you don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is recognize that even though the way they're doing it is insane or worse, same motivation. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy and so on. So you can wish those things for them without condoning who they are and what they do. It doesn't mean you like them. One of the very interesting things about loving kindness is that you can offer it without affection for the object. You can offer it with the opposite of affection, whatever word you would choose. You can still offer it. And that's very powerful. Now, one of the important things about this step with the enemy is that you remove a boundary between you and this person. Doesn't mean you're like them. Doesn't mean you approve of them. I'll just say it again. It just means you acknowledge your commonality with them. So, you know, you're not a murderer. You're not a liar. You're not someone who will harm others knowingly to get what you want. You will not try to overthrow a government in the name of your own personal wishes. I'm assuming, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. However, have you ever lied? Have you ever tried to get your way without concern for what others might want? Have you ever destroyed something because you didn't want it there? I'm not saying you murdered a person, but maybe you took something out of the environment or got rid of something because, you know, he wanted it to be gone for some aggressive reason, not a good, nice house cleaning spark joy reason. So yeah, the scale is different. I'm not a murderer or a tyrant, but I have felt murderous and I have acted tyrannically. So in that sense, I'm not different. Again, it's a matter of degree. So loving kindness for your enemy is predicated on knowing that we're no different. And we don't have to like them. Then we close the practice by offering loving kindness to all beings. Every being, human beings, animal beings, insect beings, and so forth. And not just all the ones that are here, but all the beings of the past and the future. Heavy lift, but not really, because your heart is that big and you can do that. So let's do it together. Let's practice together. So take your posture. Loving kindness begins with a few moments or minutes of shamatha, of breath awareness meditation. So we'll sit together in silence for just a few minutes. To begin your loving kindness practice, you can relax. You can remain where you are, or you can lie down. Your eyes can be open or closed. Just relax. And bring to mind yourself. See yourself through the eyes of love. And acknowledge that in your life, you have had happiness, you have had sorrow, you have had joys, you've hit the wall, and you've been hurt. And throughout, you keep going. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So if you've experienced this incredible panorama of being, and have encountered, as I say, joys and great loss. So seeing this being, who has experienced all these things and still here. Wish for yourself. May I be happy. Just repeat that silently or out loud to yourself. May I be happy. See yourself happy. May I be healthy, completely well, in body and mind. May I be healthy. May I be peaceful. See yourself at peace. May I live with ease. Next, bring to mind a loved one. Picture them in your mind's eye. See their sweet face as best you can. And know that, like you, they will have joys and great sorrows and be loved and be disappointed in love and have happiness and lose happiness and find happiness and so on, just like all of us. And from the bottom of your heart, for this dear one, wish, may you be happy. May you be happy. May you be healthy. Strong, vital. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful, my dear one. Completely peaceful. May you live with ease. May life be easy for you. May you live with ease. Now let this loved one go and bring to mind a stranger. Someone you don't have feelings about, positive or negative, but this person is someone's loved one too. And this person has had joys and sorrows and all the things. And without even knowing them, you can still extend loving kindness to them. Find this person. May you be happy. May you be healthy in every way. May you be peaceful. May your world be peaceful. May you live with ease. Now let this stranger go and bring to mind an enemy, someone you don't like. You could even hate them. It doesn't have to be the worst person in the whole world that you've ever known. It could be, but you could start with someone less hated, if you like, but you choose. Bring this person's face to mind. And without changing how you feel toward them, you can still know in your heart, weirdly, they're just trying to be happy and safe and so on. I don't know how they do it that way. But looking at this person, wish for them. May you be happy. And notice what it feels like to try to do this. You don't have to do it perfectly or even well, but just encounter what you encounter when you wish. May you be happy. Whatever it is, it's fine, by the way. May you be healthy in body and mind. May you live with ease. Now let this person go, and I'm going to add a step in here. I know so many of us are deeply, deeply upset for the people of Ukraine. And if it feels right to you, please join me in offering loving kindness to the people of Ukraine, including any Open Heart Project people who may be there. And if that doesn't feel right for you, you could pick another place of sorrow. There are many to choose from. But in the meantime, for the people of Ukraine, all men, women, children, any gender identity, any political stance, all of them, and their pets. May you be happy. May you be healthy. Strong. May you be peaceful. May your world be peaceful. May your mind be peaceful. May peace come to you. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. May your struggles be no more. May you live with ease. If you feel any ache in your heart, that's the foundation, I think, for loving kindness, that ache on behalf of others. So we conclude the practice by offering loving kindness to all beings, ourselves, our loved ones, all strangers, all enemies, all beings, human, animal, insect, aquatic, the past, the present, and the future, all. You can do this because your heart is that big. So for all beings, may all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be peaceful. Live in peace. May all beings live with ease. We'll close our loving kindness practice by letting the technique go and resuming a few minutes of shamatha vipassana, of our breath awareness practice. So please re-find your meditation posture if you need to. Let your attention rest on the breath. And let your mind and heart be as they are. And we'll sit together. Please bring your practice to a close. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. For the month of April or for the rest of your life, however you choose, you can include loving kindness practice in your daily practice or your regular practice if you like. You can do it, use this recording. You can skip to where it starts, or you can do it a shorter version on your own. I encourage you to experiment with it if you have the bandwidth to do so. And this month, our readings are from an extraordinary book by Tulku Tundup Rinpoche, actually he's right there, called The Heart of Unconditional Love. And it is a very extraordinary book on the practice of loving kindness in a way I've never heard it discussed before. I would say it's this loving kindness practice, a Mahayana practice, at least in part, through a Vajrayana lens. So it is quite an exceptional work, an extraordinary work, and I look forward to parsing it with you. So thank you, and until we meet again, be happy, be healthy, be peaceful, be at ease.